The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Football on off the ball.
But I just think there's very little wiggle room for success at Celtic. And I know Hearts at top of the league at the minute and could easily go on to win it. But I think if you win the league and you win the cup at Celtic, the fans are still going to be saying, well, we need success in Europe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
With Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the IRFU.
This is News Talk.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. This is the Saturday panel at a later time this week because we're going to review Ireland's win over Scotland in the Six Nations. The full-time whistle's gone at the Aviva Stadium. The details are Ireland have won by 43 points to 21, scoring 6 tries. Jamie Osborne, Dan Sheehan, Robert Balakoon, Darren Murray, the debutante, and 2 for Tommy O'Brien late on. Jack Crowdy kicked 5 conversions and a penalty. The table reads like this. Ireland on 19 points, France on 16, Scotland on 16. We need England to do us a favour in Paris tonight when it comes to the title. We have, though, won a triple crown and 4 games out of 5. In studio, we have the ex-Leinster and Ireland flanker Kevin McLaughlin and the former Irish Grand Slam winning winger Alison Miller. How are you, Kevin? How are you, Alison?
Good, how are you?
Doing great, thanks, John.
And we have at the Aviva Stadium the ex-Munster and Ireland hooker Mike Sherry, who's been watching everything unfold. Mike, you might summarise what you've seen today, but first, talk to us about what you're watching down on the pitch right now.
Yeah, hard to unpack that. A lot happened. Down on the pitch, great scenes of celebration amongst the Irish squad. Scottish guys look very forlorn. Tough day at the office for them. They showed a bit. Certainly they had moments in that game, but I think when they look back on that, their defence let them down massively. I felt Ireland got 4 very easy tries that they didn't really have to work for. And then at the very end of the game, they got another kind of gimme where Tua Pulotu knocked it on, fell into McCluskey's hands, and he did a kind of American football style pass to Tommy O'Brien, and it was a race into the corner. Crowley nailed the conversion, so a bit of a fairy tale ending to the match. Great way for it to end from an Irish perspective, but yeah, Scotland will look back on that and say that was just too easy. And it just followed the course of a number of matches over the last number of years and decades now at this stage where Ireland have reign supreme. Scotland will be wondering what they need to do to beat Ireland in a Six Nations fixture.
26-21 at one stage in the second half. It was getting quite tight, but Ireland pulled away, Mike.
Yeah, it was, definitely. It was quite tight. I felt that in the first half when it got to 19-7, if Ireland had scored on top of that, that would have given them significant breathing space and they probably would have pushed on. But in fairness to Scotland, they stuck at it. They came out in the second half with a clear plan. They stretched Ireland. I would say Ireland's defence held up very well, and in contrast to Scotland coughing up tries, you know, they really had to work for their tries against Ireland. They manipulated the defence, as I said, a couple of times, found gaps eventually, and they were well-worked tries. But, you know, the pressure amongst the forwards, Ireland's multifaceted, multi-phase play began to tell. Gibson Park had a cracker of a game. I think Crowley can look back on that very positively. Both centres had great games, and you know, Kevin will know better than me, but Tadhg Byrne is just a phenom. The level of performance he can give week on week on week at the level he plays at and the influence he has on games, it's just, I haven't seen it from a professional player out of Ireland in a long, long time, ever, if ever. And he's just, I can't give him enough plaudits in terms of his performance and the impact he has on games. When we looked like we were stretched, he was the man to step up time and time again and get turnovers.
Alison, what was your general assessment of the whole game your first thoughts?
Yeah, I think our breakdown work, I think, really stood out, and spoke there about Tadhg Byrne and just, you know, our ability to, you know, slow down their ball even. Obviously, they've got a great attacking threat, but I thought our defence was really, really good. I thought we won the aerial battle, I think, most of the time. I'm not sure of the stats, but I just generally thought our forwards outperformed their forwards, you know, at times, you know, in Maul or Scrum or Line. I thought they were dominant. I think that's been the case in many of these games, but I think Crowley had a really, really good game. I think after last week, after his missed conversions, really good to see him nailing those. And I think, another really, really good game from Stuart McCluskey, who has to be, I suppose, Ireland's player of the tournament. And yeah, I just think we outperformed. Our defence was really good. We looked really solid, because I suppose in years gone by I would have thought we looked vulnerable out wide at times when teams like Scotland played against us. But I think we've turned that corner and we look really comfortable defending that space and that width. So just in general, I think, yeah, we had we got key turnovers at times, or even if we didn't get turnovers, we did enough to just disrupt. You know, that time, like, we look at Tadhg Byrne, even when he doesn't turn over, his tread around the ball, the time Fagerson kept rolling, you know, those moments that we had in the game just to disrupt, and those key aerial battles. And it's good to see who I talked about last week, my favourite man at the moment, Robert Balakoon, just to see him scoring the try he did, and to see McCluskey with his distribution skills. And just for Balakoon, he's not a really, really steppy player, but he just does enough with his footwork to get around, run that arc that not many players can do in the modern game, and to score is really, really good.
Lightning quick for that try.
Yeah, just the pace that we talked about last week, the ability to have a player on the team like that with that out-and-out pace is just, look, you can't talk enough about it. You can't enough. You have to have pace in that modern game. And look, Tommy O'Brien on the other wing is no slouch either. Maybe he doesn't have the same takeoff pace, but it's really good to see him scoring those true tries after his very, you know, difficult first game out against France, which I suppose long forgotten about now. But really good day at the office for Ireland.
Like, Kevin, after the France game, you were actually in here and we were doing this whole State of Irish rugby thing. And now look at us. On Patrick's weekend, we were Triple Crown winners, 4 wins out of 5. What was your general assessment?
Isn't that the beauty of sport, though?
Yeah.
Like, it swings and roundabouts, and you're never as good as they tell you are after a win like this, and you're never as bad as they tell you are after a loss. I think that's what we would have always thought when we were playing, because, like, if you listen externally, you'd be swinging all over the place. You got to stay calm. And
listen to us hurlers in the ditch.
Yeah, exactly. But listen, Scotland did a Scotland today, and Ireland did an Ireland. And, you know,
what does that mean?
Scotland revel in the loose. You know, a couple of tackles fall off, there's a couple of loose balls, Ireland make a couple of mistakes, and suddenly they're in the game, they're getting momentum. They love that. They love that looseness. And Ireland are phenomenal at keeping it tight. And I think the way that game played out today is there were a few times when Scotland started to get their game going, and Ireland just had an ability to tighten it up, go through phases, go through 20, 25 phases, win a penalty, kick it into the corner, maul it, go through another 15 phases and score some points, you know.
Let's bring in Mike there. They've just lifted the trophy there at the Aviva Stadium, Mike, the Triple Crown trophy.
They have, yeah. Fireworks making me scared, jumping out of my skin here. wasn't expecting them. But, yeah, look, I totally agree with everything that's been said by Alison and Kev. It's a strange one. I think this Six Nations, more than any, has been incredibly topsy-turvy and recency bias. You go to France, if they were to lose today against England, 4 or 5 weeks ago we were talking about them playing rugby on a different planet. If they were to lose today, they're in kind of crisis mode. Scotland will look back on this tournament now as a disappointment overall, because yet again they've come to Dublin, they've flattered to deceive, they talked a big game, they didn't back it up. And the game followed the course of many others over the years. If Wales were to win today, they'd look back on this Six Nations as a relative success. And then Italy, you know, they've had one of their best, if not their best, Six Nations. But if they lose today, they'll probably be disappointed. So, and England, look, if England win today, they look back on it as a building phase, and it was a blip. So it's a really a strange Six Nations to try summate into any sort of logic. It's been incredibly enjoyable to watch as a rugby fan, and I think from an Irish perspective we're in a good spot. You know, after that first week, as you said, it was a bit doom and gloom. It didn't really get any better after the Italian match. The England was an absolute jolt that we needed. Wales was, you know, a little bit worrying, but today I think Ireland were, as Kev says, incredibly clinical. I think their defence was excellent, and I think their attack was, you know, it was top notch, and they took any opportunity that was given to them. Players stood up when they were needed, and yeah, we're in a good spot, I think, coming in now to the summer tests, which is what everyone wanted, and we were unsure about that 6-7 weeks ago.
Wanted to capture the moment, Kevin, when Caelan Darris lifted the triple crown. It's almost like the Wimbledon vase. It's a strange kind of trophy, which is kind of all new on the horizon. But you just wanted to finish your point there. You were making the first point.
Yeah, and just to follow on something that the Mike said there. I mean, we were sitting in studio, what was it, 4 or 5 weeks ago,
yes,
after the France game. And I you asked me what do they need to change, and I used the word intent, and then Fahaz was actually using that word. I think he stole it from me after on the panel. He
TM to raid Marcus.
Yeah, exactly. He talked about the need for intent, and if you think about the England game and the Scotland game, what was there was intent. And how do you show intent? Alisson hit the nail on the head there in the defence of Rook, I think, is the key place, because it's the hardest place. You got to stick your head, you know, in places that you don't want to stick your head. Mike talked about Tadhg Byrne. He is one of the best, if not the best, in world rugby in that area. And Scotland looked so uncomfortable every time they had the ball because of the pressure. Primarily the Irish back five were putting on the ball. It was absolutely phenomenal. But even the backs were in there. You could tell Ben White, Finn Russell, they were always taking a step back. And then you look at how they played against England and France when they scored whatever 30 tries or whatever it was, points every minute. They had clean ruck ball. So Ireland clearly targeted that. And you can target it, but if you don't show the intent and do it at the right level of physicality, it's not going to work. And that word intent, I think, was absolutely critical and really shone through in the performance today.
Mike, given it was your position in the front row and hooker and you'd props beside you, how did the scrum do today?
Yeah, really well. I think that's a huge positive to take from today. I think Furlong would have really been hurting after the last couple of weeks, this campaign in general, and I think he showed up well today. I think he could be fitter. I think he's getting exposed a bit more than you would see. He's a really good athlete, and I think if he gets a little bit fitter, these kind of weak moments in his game won't be there, and it will also add to his scrummaging. But purely from a scrum perspective, his ball carrying, all that was on point today. O'Toole, really steady game. I think he's done himself a lot of favours, as has Lachman, on the loose outside this championship. And then, you know, Dan Sheehan was, you know, almost back to his marauding best today. He had a couple of big moments in open play. He had some big moments around the ruck. Line out was very good, which was a concern coming into the Six Nations. We've kind of forgotten about that because of the scrum issues, but the line out hummed today and it gave him really good platform. And he did very well in the breakdown as well. Sorry, I'm just looking at the kids running around with their dads. It's a lovely scene on the pitch here. But I think the Irish scrum did very well. I think the guys that came off the bench did good too. And to the World Cup cycle that we're all kind of fixated on, I think, again, we're in a good spot there in terms of having, again, by design or by necessity, unearthed a few players that have been exposed to really high-end rugby at international level, and we can call on them quite confidently now.
Are fans singing Zombie there, are they, Mike?
Correct, yes. The old reliable. Yeah, the players are doing a lap of the pitch. A lot of kids in players' arms, and yeah, good portion of the crowd have stayed on. They're foregoing their points for a couple of minutes and congratulating the players. And what was a brilliant day for Irish rugby, it has to be said. It was really, really enjoyable game. Great spectacle. I think Scotland played their part. I agree with Cave. They did a bit of a Scotland on it. But, long may it continue that we have their number.
I think Mike wants to take his headset off and sing Zombie. So maybe we leave him alone for a few minutes.
I see Johnny Sexton there, happy out. Look, obviously be working with Jack Crowdy there, Mike. How did Jack get on in terms of managing the game today? Alisson's touched on it already, but from the vantage point of being in the stadium, did he look assured?
He did, yeah. He looks really confident, and assured is a good word to describe what he's doing. He never looks under pressure on the ball. He knows exactly what he's seeking, even when it doesn't go right. I think he's the physical ability to get himself out of trouble. Really good tackling as well. I was encouraged to see that once or twice big boys were sent down his channel and completed his job, and once or twice he actually got up and second effort back into the ruck and made Scotland ruck him out, which is good to see from a 10. You don't often see that. So, you know, overall he'd be very happy. One kick missed on the near touchline here, which was a very tricky kick, but his kicking overall was excellent. I noticed not a rush, but an urgency for him to get set and be there with his drink taken, his breath under control, ball set up on the tee. And, you know, at no stage today did it look like the shot clock was going to run out. And from my very limited understanding of kicking, you know, the less pressure you're under, the better. And he definitely gave himself an opportunity to get himself set and execute the kick, which is what everyone is looking for him to do, to add into his general play, which we're all very enthused about.
Has he got the jersey for the World Cup cycle for you, Alisson? Jack Crowdy?
I think he has the nudge at the moment. I wouldn't rule out Prendergast at the moment. I think, as I said last week, it's just a case at the moment that... Look, we had the other side of it. The last World Cup, we had you know, one person out and out, and then we didn't have someone to come in. So look, I think we just have to, us fans or wherever, see it as an advantage that we have these two guys, you know, trying to get the jersey. I think he has a nudge. And as Mike said there, I would totally agree. He has that kind of physical presence that a lot of tens don't have. He has an abrasiveness. So he's a very good running threat as well. So if there isn't any options on, he's able to carry, and he's physical, and he can front up in defence, which, you know, is an advantage as well. We don't necessarily want him doing that all the time, but I do think he has the nudge. But I think if Prendergast can get back into some form with Leinster and show that, and I think it'll be good to bring the two guys on. And look, maybe it's a thing that you look at other teams that can roll in a different 10, and like South Africa for different games, players, you talk about, I suppose, fluidity or consistency, knowing your 10, but a big advantage would be able to know both players and be able to slide in and slide out with that. So that would be an advantage for us going through to a World Cup. They're both young and they're both developing, but good to see him with that assured game. And as I said, he's got that robustness that a lot of 10s, you know, don't maybe naturally have because of the way the game goes.
And it's a hard decision for Faz now. Does he stick with Crowley? Mm. And just give him the game time and build the team around him? Or does he do what, you know, the coaches did with Rog and Johnny Sexton over a few years, where they kind of made them nip and tuck and made them kind of go at each other? It depends on the personalities involved. My sense is they probably need to give Crowley the jersey now and start building the team around him. It's quite unsettling for the team to know you're going to have a different 10 every week. Yeah, the 10 is just so critical, and you get used to the way they run the game, even as a forward. The types of lineouts they want to play off, the type of scrum ball they want to play off, the tempo of the game, they control all of that. I mean, in fairness, Jemison Gibson-Park, 34 years old, he's been in the jersey a long time, he controls the tempo a lot as well. But the 10 is the most influential person on the pitch when you think about it like that. And as a team, you want that consistency. It's really important. So it's a tough decision now, because in some ways you'd be thinking Sam Prendergast maybe by 18 months time could be the best out half. But he obviously needs the time in the jersey to get there. And that's the big unknown. Or do you go with the slightly more conservative with a more proven 10 in Crowley? Now he's proven himself even more through this Six Nations. That's a hard decision for a coach.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I wouldn't like to be making that decision, because it is a difficult one. And you know, like, you're like the quarterback of the team. It is so important. Everything goes through them. But we don't want, like, yeah, if we see Prendergast now coming up in the Champions Cup, what can he do? And he does have a different ability. So, yeah, it's an interesting to see. It'll be really interesting to see what they do.
The interesting thing now is Frawley starting to get back to
his
form.
He's playing really well.
And he can play 10, 12,
he's
and 15.
He's off Connacht as well, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think if up in Connacht, they can do what he in the coaching, get those players ticking, it'll be really, really good for the World Cup. You saw Dara Murray today come on. Like that, I think that his try was straight after the Russell try. So for him, an uncapped player to come in a huge, huge moment and to get over that with that sureness to score that try is a huge thing. It just shows his mindset and his ability to step up in your first cap and to score that try when it's really needed. So it's great to see, and hopefully we'll see a bit more form. And it is great to see Frawley come back into that form that he has. So that's... it's really good.
Yeah, Mike, that was a big moment, wasn't it? Darren Murray coming off the bench, debut and a try for him. I mean, he'll never forget his day.
It was, yeah. A lot of people thought it was Darius because of the scrum cap, but he did eventually get the credit of scoring the try, and it was well taken. It was really smart thinking at the base of a ruck, well executed and well finished from him. And there was a bit of noise during the week around, you know, was he the correct person to put on the bench? Why weren't they backing a Dogbo? You know, I think he's probably shown quite a lot in camp. I've seen him play, as the guys have, I'm sure, a lot of provincial rugby, and he's a good athlete. He's a good line-out operator. I don't think he's a guy that's ever going to let you down, and he obviously impressed in camp. And today, like, what a debut coming on, firstly for the blood bin for Byrne, and then coming back on and really impacting the game positively. That try was a huge moment. It was well taken, and then in the line-out he did really well, and he did really well in general play, and that's the dream debut. We're coming on in a kind of winning position and closing out the game, and not just again surviving but thriving in that atmosphere and that environment, and that's exactly what he did. But sorry, just to on the Crowley point,
sure.
I totally take everything that's been said, but for me, like, as the guys will know as well, there is a hierarchy, and it is brilliant that we're building depth, but like, he is undoubtedly now the out and out first choice, and I think they have to back him. I totally get what they were trying to do around building depth, but I don't think they handled it very well. As well as the Six Nations has now gone, I don't think we can rewrite history and say they dealt with the chopping and changing very well over the last 15 months. And it did have an impact on Crowley's form and his confidence, and you could see that at club level and international level. So it's around now, I think, backing him as your first choice and building that depth underneath him. I think he's shown enough now in two Six Nations where he's been pretty much the starting 10 to convince the coaches that they should back this guy as their first choice 10. And now it's a shootout between Byrne, Frawley and Prendergast to get that second slot and then be competent enough and have enough exposure that if Crowley is to go down, if Crowley is having a poor run of form, you have backup there to come in. But you know, to not have him as your first choice now and back him, I think, would be a big missed opportunity after all the toing and froing over the last 15 months.
Who was your player of the tournament from an Irish perspective, Mike?
I think there's only one option. I think McCluskey has been exceptional. I think he's taken his opportunity and really stood up and being counted. And we talked about Gibson Park being one of the first names on the team sheet. I think McCluskey is there now as well. He saw the game today in a partnership with Bolt Ringrose, who I think played his best game all championship, and then he saw it out with Aki. So I think he is now the fulcrum and the starting point of the centre partnership, whatever that may be, moving forward. And it's going to be who they put in beside him. I think it's going to be Ringrose. I think they marry very well with each other, but he's just been he's been so good in so many aspects. And today again, he was probably our best back on the pitch. Carried hard, passing game's really good, offloading game, his defensive work, he's a massive presence in the middle of the field, and he's got real subtlety to his game that people are now recognising and giving him credit for. So he would be my vote without a shadow of a doubt.
What about Scotland, Mike? It feels like it could be a little bit back to square one for them. I mean, we're now their bogey team, if we weren't already.
we definitely are their bogey team. Yeah, I don't know if we'll be back to square one. I think Townsend has probably gotten rid of the noise around making a change this far out from the World Cup. I think if they had followed on Italy with a couple of poor, abject performances and not got the two really impressive wins they got against England and France, you'd hear a little bit of that noise, but I think that's been put to bed. I think, look, they have a very clear identity of who they are when they're playing well. I think they have an all-court, wide, relentless attack that can be incredibly oppressive on a team and put them under severe pressure, which we've seen. So they have that in their utility. It's just, as Kev said, they more often than not at the big occasion pull a Scotland when the real pressure is on, which is something that they'll have to do a bit of soul searching on and figure out themselves. But you know, I think come next Six Nations, next World Cup, you'll probably start hearing the same noises around this is the best team that they've had and it's the best chance, and they're probably within their rights to say that because of the peaks they can get to. But until they can consistently back it up and, you know, win four games in a championship for one and deliver when the pressure is on, there still will be question marks about them. But they have a serious amount of talent and a serious amount of attacking ability that you can't really ever write them out, in my opinion.
Yeah, in my opinion, lack of leadership in the Scottish camp. And I don't mean on the pitch today, I mean the looseness this week with the chat of Ireland are there for the taking. And I go back to when I was playing, and particularly in the Joe Schmidt era, we would have been so tight around what we said the week of the game. We say what we say internally, but what we say externally, we'd be...
Well, Joe liked to look at the newspapers, didn't he?
And the fact is, everyone does. Like, everyone... like.
Did you read player ratings?
Yeah, everyone did, even if they said they didn't. But you know, the fact is, if you're in the Irish camp, and like there's still some doubts swirling around, you did okay against Wales, had a phenomenal game against England, but then England lose to Italy, and like, you know, there's loads of doubts, is this team waning and all this kind of stuff. And then you have the Scottish camp kind of, there's word coming out saying Ireland are there for the taking. And it's the perfect setup for a coach. Like, now you've got your motivation, and there's plenty of motivation there already. And I think Scotland got that wrong, in my opinion. I think that's a leadership thing. And as coach, that's a captain, that's Finn Russell. Like I said in the last studio I was in here, like Finn Russell, I think he's amazing when it's loose. Well, as Mike said, when it comes to the big games where it's like tight, controls required, he's running across the pitch, he's dropping the ball, he's doing little dribbles. And like, that's just, it's literally Like, you love seeing that in a big game. As a defender, you love seeing that looseness. He's running across, you all just stay connected. He drops the ball, he tries a trick, turnover. Okay, let's go. Let's tighten it up. Let's maul it. Let's put them under more pressure. So I just feel like Scotland got it wrong this week. I really do. And as soon as I saw that statement, I was like, Ireland are going to be absolutely revved up for this game. And you watch the first 20 minutes and you could see the physicality. And it does, those things do make a difference.
We're going to let you go, and I might get just a couple of more questions to finish. First of all, can England do us a favour tonight?
I hope so. I don't see it when I'm looking at it in the cold reality, but you know, it's not that long ago we were talking about their winning streak, and Borthwick was saying come to France for the Grand Slam decider. So really bizarre, as I was saying at the start of this piece, around how much people's fortunes have swung in this Six Nations. But you know, if they were to pull off a win tonight, it would be one of their great victories considering where they're at. And you know, listening to various different analysts and podcasts and whatever else was going around during the week, the noise out of their camp is that, you know, they like Borthwick in terms of they like what he's doing. He's not exactly an inspirational character like we would see Farrell as, in terms of galvanizing a group and pulling at different emotional strings, but they seem to like the game plan and what he's trying to do. And you know, they've said a few times that it's on the players. I told you after the Italian game was adamant that was player led in terms of their performance, and they needed to back their coaches up. So you know, it might galvanize the group. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that they'll pull off something. They're still a well coached, well drilled, really good athletes in their team, and you know, anything can happen on any given day. But the reality suggests that France will win, unfortunately, from an Irish perspective, and they'll be smarting after last week as well. I don't think anyone has seen Dupont play two poor games in a row, or he wasn't even that poor last week. He still had some amazing moments, but two games where he probably isn't in the top two or three best players on the pitch. So I would imagine that they're going to pull away after a tense kind of 40-50 yes. minutes, and their ascendancy and just they're just a better team. That's what it is.
Last question. It'll be seen as a successful Irish campaign, will it, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely it will. Look, the first game seems like a bit of an aberration now, because the heights they got to in England, the heights they got to today, the depth that they've unearthed, the togetherness that they've probably developed during this camp and this campaign, they're back to the wall a little bit. They were questioned, rightfully so, I felt, at certain stages, that they needed to answer questions, they needed to build depth, they needed to rotate, they needed to bring in a bit of youth, fresh blood, and they've done all that. And they've played really well whilst doing that. And look, who knows, they might have a championship at the end of today. So if you win a championship and you win four games and you win a triple crown, that is absolutely a successful campaign.
Mike Sherry, I can hear the seagulls at the Aviva Stadium, so I'm going to let you go and enjoy your night. Thanks for today.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Thanks,
Mike Sherry there at the Aviva Stadium. Still have Alison Miller and Kevin McLaughlin with us until 5. We're reflecting on Ireland's win over Scotland 43-21 in the Six Nations today. The Triple Crown secured. The Saturday panel on Off the Ball this week brought to you by Optimum Nutrition. We're delighted to team up with Optimum Nutrition, the world's number one performance nutrition brand, as they launched their new global campaign, The Optimum Advantage, with over 35 years at the top of performance nutrition, trusted by the world's best athletes and a growing partnership with the IRFU. Optimum Nutrition are right at the heart of Irish rugby. And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5. Rugby, the focus of this week's Saturday panel, and Off the Ball a little later than usual because of the Ireland-Scotland game, which has finished in a win for Ireland today. 43 points to 21 at the Aviva Stadium over the Scots, and 6 tries, a triple crown secured. Jamie Osborne, Dan Sheehan, Robert Balakoon, Dara Murray, the debutante, and 2 for Tommy O'Brien. Ireland now will win the title if France lose to England and Paris later on. We want to hear from you, your comments. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number for any questions or comments to Kevin McLaughlin, ex-Leinster and Ireland back row, and the former Irish Grand Slam winning winger Alison Miller in the studio with us. So for the World Cup, I mean, what should be the focus now for Andy Farrell and his coaching staff for the next cycle? Because you think, oh, 18 months away, that's ages away. But you know, when you bring the Nations Championship around and then the next Six Nations, we're into the World Cup cycle. We've seen Ireland get the cycle maybe a little bit out of kilter in recent times. I mean, 2022, we won that down in New Zealand and came close in 2023, but lost the quarterfinal. 2018, we won the Grand Slam, and the next year was a bit of a write-off. So what is important now over the next period of time for Farrell and his coaching staff, who seem to have brought a lot of young players, or especially with the wingers, maybe not so young, but newer names into the picture?
Yeah, make no mistake, since the summer, they've been focused on the World Cup. So it's kind of a two-year build-up. And like a lot of the challenge they have now is deciding blood new talent versus settle a team. And I think some of that challenge is based on the fact of the age profile of some of the players. So we've got some, you know, if you look at the centres, McCluskey, Bundy, Gary and Robbie, all in their 30s. You know, Bundy's 35, I think. McCluskey's 33 going on 34. Like, so do you basically decide now that they're your four centres for the World Cup? Or do you decide that you need to get a couple of other players into the mix? And then how do you get them into the mix? How do you get them to a position where in 18 months' time they're not putting on an Ireland jersey for the second or third time? There's going to be a lot of hard decisions, a lot of discussions, a lot of gambling. You have to gamble. Can McCluskey keep this form? Can he stay injury free? Like, obviously they're going to stick with him and hope that him, that, you know, I think, as Mike said, he's the starting centre now and they build around him the way he's playing. He's such a ball player at the moment. But there's been some real positives, and some of that has been forced through the Six Nations around blooding new talent. If you think like Mikey Mill, Tom O'Toole, even today, just starting to look more and more assured. Jeremy Lachman earlier in the tournament was starting to come into his own, struggled a little bit in the scrum in some of the games. Obviously, Darren Murray there in the second row getting his debut, like things like that will have a huge impact on his career. And then there were just moments, because if you think about World Cup, right, like this team is not thinking about the World Cup in terms of getting to a semis for the first time, to be clear. I know that's what a lot of the Irish mindset would be. Jesus, we just have to get past the quarters this time. They're thinking about winning the thing. They were number one in the world up until relatively recently, right? So they're not going just to get to a semi. So they're thinking about what are the kind of players, the depth in each position we're going to be need to have a chance at doing that. Big concern areas would be out half. Like, do they have an out half that can kick them to World Cup victory? If you look at South Africa's last two, if you look at Wilkinson back in 03, like it's having a world-class kicker is like probably the most key component. And Jack Crowley looks strong tonight, but we don't have someone who's, you know, just renowned for world rugby for knocking over 90% of their kicks. And there's things like that will be concerning for them. Jemison Kibza-Park is the other one. Because if you look at the England performance and the Scotland performance, I think you said it today, he was absolutely phenomenal. Ireland played different because of him and because of the speed of decision-making, the way he moves the ball around, changes the point of attack. He's a critical component of Ireland's attack, and when he's not there, we don't play like that.
And yeah, it's interesting then, because you look at someone at his age profile and you wonder, does he need to be playing all the time? But how do you keep him ticking over that he is? Because, you know, and when Ireland are playing well, he is ticking. And he, like, I was even watching him today. He's not a DuPont, that physicality, but the way he carries with such intent that he actually can attract players to him, and he's well able to manage himself when he's isolated. He's able to hold his feet and wait for his support. So I like what you said, we were forced into some rotation, which I think has been really good. I don't necessarily love seeing us win Grand Slams coming up to World Cup, because I would like, and we talk about sport, and you talked about sport, that the key thing about sport is that we never really know, and we don't know how players psychologically respond to their backs being up against the wall, their positions questioned, you know, the team being questioned. So you see someone like Dara Murray, I think you pronounce it like that.
Murray.
Yeah, and he, you know, you put him into that pressurized position and he's able to perform. So we have to see guys that are out and about there that look like they're on that Irish, you know, identified. Are they able to perform? Because you just don't know. Sometimes you can have guys up training and they perform and they're impressing you. But sometimes we like you said, do we, you know, McCluskey and Aki and those guys are in their 30s, mid-30s, and, you know, do you try and keep them fresh? But we do also need to expose people. So it's that fine line. Can you get that balancing act right? Because we need to have as many players as we can in line for this World Cup. And I hope you're looking at, like, you see McCluskey there, and I think maybe unfortunately for him over the years, maybe Ulster weren't playing that really, really good rugby that they were there. So you ask yourself the question, you have to ask yourself these questions. Was it always in front of us? But he didn't have, I suppose, that you know, they didn't have that consistency in their game. They didn't have that, he didn't have the confidence from playing club. So, and then you look at what he can do now and the form that he's in and the skill set that he has. And is there players out there? I hope Stuart Lancaster can, you know, get some of those Connacht guys going so we can see them. We probably, like, and then I suppose we've had guys in, you know, World Player of the Year form, and we've had guys in really, like, electric, you know, contenders for World Player of the Year, but we don't quite have some of those at the moment. So we need to find guys as well and expose them and see, can they play at that level? And because, can they, and because you want to see a player, you put a player out there and you see them, God, they rose to that occasion. They're able for that. And then you'll have players that would perform really well in training, technically really good, tick every box, know their detail, know their homework, do their homework, do their analysis, and they can step up. So you need to test players in that test environment and see what they've got.
On that, because Hugo Keenan was the star of the Lions, got injured, and Jamie Osborne's had to fill 15 and deliver.
Yeah, and so like you're forced into that. So sometimes we have our biases, you know, as coaches and players and pundits, you have your biases and you have to try and take that bias off yourself and see what's in front of you. So I'd be interested to see where Mac Hansen, I think he's a really, really good player, where he fits back in and where Hugh Keenan fits back in. We see our wingers off the wing, but it's about giving players opportunity, but they got to also, they got to show themselves to be given that opportunity as well. So we need to see what the provinces do. And I don't like, you know, and it is, you try and keep that consistency. It is hard when you're a player and there's a different, you know, whatever position you are, you're in back row, there's a different back row, and then there's a different 10, and then there's a different centre, and it can be disruptive. But at the same time, I do not want to be in the same position as we were in the last World Cup, where I felt we were tired and I felt we were afraid to make decisions about players when they needed to be made. I think that bit us in behind at that stage. And we have to have the confidence to make those decisions as well, that we know that we can put that player in. So it's very difficult. I hate to be Andy Farrell right now, but I think we need to do that. How do we do it? I don't mind if we don't, you know, I don't mind if we don't win Six Nations and we do this in a lead up to World Cup. I think you want to go to World Cup and not have those regrets and not go, well, we didn't try this person, or we didn't. You want to get to the World Cup and say, well, we've tried to see what these players can do, and have they raised, you know, the psychological factors. There's so much more to sport than just, if sport was just easy, tick the box, you know, everyone has their detailed analysis, we wouldn't watch it, and we wouldn't have the Six Nations that we did have in this. So let's see what some of these players can do, and are they right in front of us? Can we see them? Take our biases off and go with it.
Wales 0, Italy 0, England play France in Paris, and hopefully England will do us a favour so we can win the title after a 43-21 win over Scotland. And on the women's team, Alison, how are they fixed for the Six Nations? I mean, it's a bit of way away now, but the World Cup was real positive and it felt like we were back on the road, back to where we possibly were when you were playing and winning Six Nations. And,
yeah, like I said, obviously in the World Cup, we were, whatever, 5 minutes away from a World Cup semi-final. I've only heard of one retirement, because traditionally women will retire after World Cup, because I know they're professional now, but it's not huge money. So generally, we've only had Nicole Fowley retiring, so I haven't heard of anyone else retiring. But at the moment, on March 21st is the semi-finals of the Celtic Cup in Dexcom Stadium in Galway. So I suppose after that, we'll see the Irish squad. Erin King is the new captain, which is remarkable, really, because there was question marks whether she'd ever get back to play. So to get back fit enough to play and be the captain, they definitely should, you know, get to her position in the Six Nations. But like that, you're always looking for new players, you're looking for, you know, new spark. And it's a relatively young team, but I think you'll see a few retirements possibly that haven't been announced yet. But they're in a good position. They're ever improving. They're ever improving the technical aspects of the game, you know, the depth in the squad. And it just shows when, you know, given the backing and the support, how quickly that can be done. That can be done with professional hits of any team or any sport, you know.
Let's get an update from Tralee. Kerry against Mayo in the National Football League Division 1. Tommy Rooney.
John, half-time here in Ossensack Park. There's kids on the field at the minute. The rain has fallen, but it's not deterring any of the youngsters that are down getting a bit of a kick about. Kerry are leading Mayo by 3 points here at the break on a scoreline of 13 points to 10. in what is essentially a league semi-final here in Division 1. Dylan Ganey, who kicked three fine points across the half, got Kerry on the board after 3 minutes, but it was Mayo who had the much better start with the wind at their backs. They'd open up a 9-3 lead midway through the first half. Jordan Flynn, Jack Kearney and Ryan O'Donoghue all kicking two-pointers, but it all changed from there. Kerry grew into the game and kicked 6 points in 6 minutes. David Clifford kicking the first, his second at a half, and he set up Sean O'Shea moments later for his first at a half. Sean O'Shea would kick another point moments later, and then Dylan Ganey would kick the equaliser on 24 minutes. Mayo did threaten for a goal. Darragh Byrne put a good effort wide, and Copen McDonald had two bites of the cherry. He took a shot from about 15 yards. Shane Murphy saved low, and in the rebound, he attempted a drop kick, and Murphy saved it one more time. A good double save from the Dr. Crokes keeper. Sam Callanan's point in the 33rd minute was Mayo's only score in that second period of the first half, and Dylan Ganey rounded out the scoring. So half time at the break, Mayo with plenty of work to do, and they're against the wind in the second half. They're 3 points down. Kerry, the All-Ireland champions, 13 points. Mayo, 10 points.
Okay, thanks, Tommy. Wins for Galway in Camogie League Division 1A and Waterford as well. A draw between Cork and Tipperary. Premier League, Burnley 0, Bournemouth 0 approaching full-time. Sunderland 0, Brighton 1 in stoppage time. In the Championship, it's Birmingham 1, Sheffield United 1, Leicester 1, QPR 3, Millwall 1, Blackburn Rovers 2, Norwich 2, Preston 0, Sheffield Wednesday 0, Ipswich 2, Stoke 3, Watford 1 and West Brom 2, Hull 0, all approaching full-time. A Women's National League, Shelburne 2, Treaty United 0, a result. It ended Cork City 0, Shamrock Rovers 2. Latest scores, Dealer Waves 0, Galway United 1 and Waterford 0, Wexford 0. And in Scotland, Celtic today 3-1. They lead Motherwell into stoppage time. They're going to win that. Hibernian 0, Livingston 0. And it's Aberdeen 1, Falkirk 1. So, Kevin McLaughlin, final word to you. I'm just looking here through the Six Nations under Andy Farrell the last few seasons. 2022, 3-5-6, 4 out of 5 seasons now, Triple Crowns, Grand Slam in 2023. Should we tie him down to a new deal? We got ahead of ourselves.
He's been phenomenal. And I have to put my hands up and say, when I heard that he was taking over from Joe Schmidt, I felt like it was the wrong decision. I hadn't heard or seen enough of him to know how like strong a leader he is. And obviously the IRFU understood that at the time. And he's been incredible. I mean, the feedback I get from the guys who've been lucky enough to be coached by him, particularly since he stepped into the head coach role, the level of inspiration, the connection with the players, very different to the Joe Schmidt era in terms of much more relaxed, brings families and kids and stuff into the team room in the lead up to games and way less, let's say, structured and disciplined and more relaxed. I think you see that flow through in the game and you know, some of the loose offloads from Stuart McCluskey and stuff that he enables. But yeah, my view would be you'd be trying to lock him down. There's no obvious other coach that you'd be bringing.
Rog?
I mean,
put me on the spot here.
Rog would love it, and he's got a pretty phenomenal CV at this point. But like, it would be a big risk, wouldn't it? To say, Faz, off you go to Saracens. We're bringing in a bronzed Rog from La Rochelle. I don't know.
We've got a minute left of the show. We're probably not going to solve it now.
We're probably not. But it's
a successful tournament, though.
Definitely a successful tournament, particularly after the way France started. And like another leader, another coach wouldn't have been able to pull the team together like he did off the back of that first game.
Right, Kevin McLaughlin, thank you so much for coming in. Alison Miller, thank you for coming in as well.
No problem.
On the Saturday panel this week. Enjoy Patrick's Day, whatever you're doing with your families, and we'll speak to you soon.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
With Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the IRFU.
This is News Talk.